that understand Cajun music. And I can only take a little bit of it at a time, but I like it, you know, just for a change, you might say. So every weekend, I would put in the URL for this website, and there was this weekend program that aired down in that area, and it was just something that I became a habit, I suppose. Anyway, but just like you're saying, it seemed that they just had to change it. Like every other week, you would find yourself struggling to do the simplest things because they wanted to tweak it just a bit, you know. Well, you're not the only frustrated old guy out there, KK4JBQ.
I'm not by myself out there, Larry. It really is. Another thing Ray used to say, he said, there's only one constant in this whole world, and that's change. So you just got to learn to go with the flow. And so that's another good piece of advice.
Yes, sir, I got to say, I'm glad you feel all right to bring Ray into conversation. Those people who knew Ray, they understand why you bring him into conversation. He's just somebody, whether he's here with us or he's away from us. Ray was one of those human beings you were glad to know, and you were glad to tell other people that you knew him. There's some people that, you can't say that about, I knew Ray Allison, and I'm proud to say that I knew him. And he taught me some things that I'll carry along with me the rest of my life. Now, if you've ever run into somebody in your lifetime, and whoever it is you are, if they give you something that you can carry around for the rest of your life, you'll never forget that person. You'll never forget how it came to you. Some particular things. I know you've repeated this too, but it's just something that popped into my head at the moment. Ray was, he was fond of saying, I work until I'm tired. And then I sit down and rest a little bit, and then I go at it again. And it is simple, but it's the way that you can accomplish great things. Even as you might get subject to exhaustion a little quicker than a younger person, just back off a little bit, sit down, take a rest. And Ray got a lot done, don't you think, in his time. And you might remember, I don't know if Ray reached 90. How old was Ray when he passed? KK4JBQ.
If Ray had lived two more months, he would have been 82. He passed, he was 81 when he passed. And had he lived two more months, he would have been 82.
Well, I had that all wrong. But, he spoke like a wise person. Like he'd already lived till 90 and started over again, you know? He was like that. Another marvelous thing about Ray was he shared. It wasn't, he had plenty of toys, but they weren't just for him. He wanted to share all of the things that had meant something to him. That Schwinn bicycle, Black Beauty, I believe he called it. He was so proud of that bicycle. And I don't think I ever saw Ray on top of the bicycle, in the saddle, you might say. But I spent many long hours on a bike. I did some, at some t- time in my life I did a lot of miles on a bicycle. Probably from the time I was 9 years old until I was 39 years old. I've been a lot of time in a bicycle seat, and that's neither here nor there. But Ray was so proud of that bicycle, kept it in good shape. KK4JPQ.
KOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KK4JPQ. Larry, he did keep that bicycle in beautiful shape, and he had more than one of them, and I can't remember who he got it from. I'm trying to think. I won't say because I'm liable to get it wrong, but somebody found one either in either at the dump or somebody was getting ready to throw it away. It was out on the in the garbage for the garbage pickup. I don't remember which it was, but they carried it up to Ray and asked him if he wanted it, and he said yes. And he found a place that he could get the parts, and he refurbished it. And it was just amazing when he got through with it. But he was a very talented man, no doubt in my mind about it. He could do a lot of things and did a lot of things, whether it was with bicycles or engines or radios or, he's one of those that didn't actually have to go to a mechanic or somebody to get something done. He would go ahead and take care of it himself, try to do everything himself. And I'm that way to a point, I always figure, well, if somebody else can do it, so can I. And, if you don't know how to do it, you talk to the people that know how to do it and let them give you pointers. Don't try to tell them their job. But if you'll sit there and listen, they'll tell you how to do it and how to go about it. And it seems to work out a lot better for me that way, anyhow.
Agree with you there. I took probably a couple of tours. Ray gave tours. You know what I'm talking about. And he had two shacks. He had one on the upper level of the house, out by the garage, and another one downstairs. Now, you might be able to tell me how some particular piece of equipment got either in one place or the other. But like most hands, he could tell you all about how he came in to own it and what he's done with it and the contacts that he made all over the planet. That's a wonderful thing about the hobby, too. The one thing that impressed me about Ray is that I think he had a tree to fall. I don't know what species it was, but he had a tree to fall. He decided that's furniture wood. Maybe it was a cherry tree. I don't know. But he said, that's furniture wood. I'm going to make me, I don't know if it was a gun case or a cabinet of some sort. And that was one thing that he went on and on about during my tour. And it was a very fine piece of work that he'd done all the way up. And most people that I know that work with wood, they buy their wood. But Ray had quite a bit of property there. And if he would use whatever... if a tree fell, he was going to make some use of it. And I think that's how this happened. And it was furniture wood, and he just took it all the way from a fallen tree to curing it up and drying it out and making boards out of it so you can make furniture. That's a long trip when you do it that way. KK4JPQ.
You were talking about that. That was a big pine tree that Ray had in his yard that he planted. He said he can't many people say that they planted the tree, watched it grow for 50 years, And then it got a split in it, and he had to have it taken down. And he had it cut down, and he got the lumber out of it and made a gun cabinet out of it. He said, so many people can't say that they planted a tree, grew it, had it cut down, used the lumber, and built furniture out of it. So I remember that well.
Did he ever show anybody his bicycle, that 50s bicycle he had? I was over there one day, and it was like walking back in time. I mean, he had a perfect 1950s, something that you'd see in the movies.
Swing Black Shadow that Larry was talking about earlier. But as far as I know, and here again, I haven't been up there since he passed away. I've got to get up there to see Miss Edie. I hadn't seen her in a long time, but I have seen Johnny a couple of times, and he said that she's doing well. And it's probably still in the basement up there, Earl.
Basement is a museum. I mean, it's, you don't need to touch it. You know, he's like, he taught us everything we know.
He tossed a lot, no doubt, and he is definitely missed. But he did have a beautiful bicycle down there, that, and he rode it, still rode it around the neighborhood, up and down the hills, and that sort of thing. And they don't make them like that anymore.
I love him to death, and God rest his soul.
Yeah, 4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2 meter net.
It's marvelous. I was hoping that when Ray came up in the conversation, I'd hope we'd have a little reminiscence. Because that's good. That's healthy. That's respectful. And a lot of things come to mind when talking about someone that was, to the people who knew him, one of the finest characters they ever met. And I don't think I ever learned anything about Ray that I didn't respect, that I didn't admire. And, I mean, I didn't go poking around and asking people, you know. It's just that whenever he seemed to come up in anybody's conversation, it was something that people could go on and on about what he had done or how he had done it. And then too, I'll never forget the night we were talking. It was a stormy winter night, and we spent time on this repeater talking with Ray. He worked for the telephone company, I think it was, and they had a piece of equipment that had to be worked on on one of the mountains here, around here, and he jumped out of a helicopter into a snowbank and went into the shack where this transmitter was, and that's where he worked on it. Now, that held me, my ear right, pressed right to the speaker when he was talking that night. Do you remember that night when he was talking about jumping out of the helicopter? KK4JPQ.
And Blue Ridge 2 meter net. Let me make another call real quick, Larry. Do we have additional seconds all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2 meter net? Call KI4DOS. The DOS and the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. Yes, I remember that, Larry. Now, Ray worked up there. He worked for the telephone company, but he did a lot of work up there at the top of Parrish Mountain, up there where they had the microwave transmitters. He worked in that building there. And, I remember the night he said that they carried him up in a helicopter, and he jumped out into the snowbank. Finally got into the building. He had to dig his way into the door so he could open the door. And once he got the door open, went inside, and They came back and picked him up, but oh gosh, he told several stories about that. He told another story about coming down the mountain during a snowstorm. He was going back home after work, and one of his, I don't remember which vehicle it was, but anyway, he was going down the mountain, and there's some a lot of folks ask him, you know, says, if you get down, you won't never get back up. Well, he got back down, and the next day, he had chains on his vehicle. Not only did he have them on the rear wheels, he had them on the front as well. And that was a four-wheel drive vehicle, and he went right on up there to the mountain and to do his job. But it was amazing that, you know, during some of those times, he did not get hurt bad coming down the mountain with it being ice on the roads and that sort of stuff, because on one side it was, the side of the mountain, and the other side was a drop-off. the downside of the mountain. I remember the time he jumped out of the helicopter in the snowbank. Oh, gosh, he had a lot of stories to tell, no doubt.
And I'm strongly attracted to stories like that. And storytelling, it's something that I grew up with, not so much my parents, but my dad's side of the family. They would sit around with a fire burning in the fireplace, you know, crackling and popping, and just talking the night away. Now, they wouldn't do this on radio. We have, oh goodness, I mean, we can get a group of people together, can't we? We can get 20 people, 40 people, 100 people, if that's what people want to do. We could get around it and just tell stories. We know how to get her done, you know. But maybe that's not what people are interested in anymore. I don't know. But maybe they just hadn't thought, well, you know, here we got the equipment to do it. But it takes an interest, as far as people go. It takes an interest to keep something going for a while. The midnight train, and Earl jumped in here a couple of times. He was a member of the midnight train. He rode on that train with us, and it was fun while it lasted and such as that. But there's a little town in Tennessee close to where I grew up. It's actually the birthplace of David Crockett. If you've ever heard of that fella, David Crockett was one of the folks in his time that defended at the Alamo. So, you know, everyone was killed at the Alamo, and that's where he met his end. But this little town is a storytelling town, and I've visited there, and they have sort of reenactments, big rooms, open rooms, nothing but chairs in there, and they have a professional storyteller come in, and he just gets in front of this group of people. I mean, it could be a lot of people. It could be over 100 people. It's that big a room. And the acoustics have been tweaked just so that he didn't have to shout for people to hear it. You know, didn't have to have an amplification either. And you just get a sense of what it used to be like when people would entertain themselves with storytelling. I'm proud to know what that sounds like and to have experienced that to some degree. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZ, you was talking earlier about I believe best I remembered to get 2,000 a month. 65 a night, if I understood that. And I've heard Ray tell many stories. I don't remember if... Well, I wasn't licensed at the time, but I heard him on here a lot back then. What Ray ever told you about that before OGE down at Batesburg, who had a good antenna system and could get into this repeater real good. Me and Larry here was talking here one night about vacuum tubes. He had been working on a vacuum tube amplifier, and it bent him and took him out.
A lot of folks that the vacuum tubes have taken out, you know. You get working on that stuff, it's high voltage, just not like the solid state stuff. And it's a lot of high voltage and high current, and it'll reach out and get you big time. When I was in the military, they taught us, as when I was in school, you know, we're going through different phases of electronics, and they told us when we got into the tubes, they said, when you start to take a plate cap off of one of these tubes, make sure you discharge it first, because it's a big capacitor, and it'll flat knock you for a loop if you don't do that. And TV repairmen used to be a bad situation, because there was a lot of high voltage back there in the on the chassis and the picture tube itself. You know, the big old CRTs they were, and that they'd have a big charge on them. But he never told me about that particular instance. We talked about a lot of other things. But thanks for bringing that up there, Andy.
KI4LZI, he used to call himself W4 Old Gray Eagle. He was on here, it seemed like in the 80s or the 90s. I didn't have mine then either, but I was listening on here back during the time and heard him on here a lot. I don't know where he was down here. He had just the right type antenna system. He could get into this repeater fairly regularly. And I know he disappeared, and I asked Gray one time about it, and that's why he told me to happen to him. KI4LZI.
Andy, I really don't. But like I said, you know, vacuum tubes and the older electronics, the boat anchor stuff that I enjoy. You got to be very careful because of the high voltage and high current stuff that's in there. They told me when I was learning, when I was in electronics school, they said, you put this hand in your back pocket and you use this hand and don't use a metal screwdriver. You use a plastic diddle stick or a wooden diddle stick, and you use that to touch and move things around. And so, you know, that was pretty good way to teach. And but like I said, with the solid state stuff, you know, the voltage is not that high, and there's current's not that high, which is it makes it a lot safer. And you know, I've told people in the not too distant past that if I had small children in the house, I would not have any. Of the old stuff, I wouldn't have this Collins 3001 sitting on the bench, or this Hammerlin HQ-170 I got sitting over here on the bench. I wouldn't have that stuff in here because I'd be afraid that one of my children might get in here with a screwdriver or something and stick it in where it wasn't supposed to be, and then they wouldn't be here anymore. So I tell them nowadays I'd get solid state, but... You know, years ago, they didn't have a choice.
Go ahead. I'll come in when I hear something, but I heard y'all talking about certain things there, and he never knew me either. Of course, I didn't have my license in the 80s, 90s, but I heard him a lot on here, and I knew Ray knew who he was, and that's why he told me. say, with the vacuum tubes. Make one fatal error and it becomes a fatal error. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LCI.
Before you go, give me a call sometime tomorrow. I tried to call you earlier this afternoon, and I had two numbers for you. One of them has been disconnected, and the other one, they went straight to voicemail. And I did leave you a voicemail on there if it was the right number. So give me a call sometime tomorrow, if you don't mind there, young man. Say around 10 o'clock or after, anytime after 10 o'clock will be fine. I'll be up earlier than that, but Joy may not be, so I don't want the phone ringing. But give me a call sometime tomorrow, okay?
Same. Yeah, so don't want you to feel too put upon, because already you're doing us, you know, there's not a week that goes by that you're not on the air for us. Put it that way. KK4JBQ.
I think I doubled you during most of that. I was telling Andy to give me a call tomorrow. I thought I keyed up before you did, and we probably did it at the same time. So I probably doubled with you as far as that goes. But Andy, if you can hear me, give me a call sometime after 10 tomorrow, if you don't mind. And go ahead, Larry. I'll listen. Sorry, I double with you.
That's okay. All I was saying in essence, you know, that's a little bit of an aggravation, that doubling thing. And I've heard some famous doubles, I'll tell you, some absolute perfect doubles. You just knew what was going on. You heard the repeater really struggles sometimes. And in particular, you know, repeaters, they'll really struggle with two or three people trying to talk on there at the same time. And you wonder if it's not doing some damage, I know, to tell you the truth. But I guess we just have to live with that. Just have to live with that possibility. But anyhow, have you ever known that anybody tried to figure out how it is that maybe you can't do anything with the electronics of a repeater, but some people will just momentarily push the button and say, let me make sure I've got it, you know, and that seems to work. I mean, there'd be a way to handle that if you had a group of people. And in the Midnight Express that we're talking about here tonight, this did happen frequently, that there were people that would key down and you know, if it was me, I'd be on there for right close to 10 minutes. You know, that gap before you have to, I mean, by regulation, you have to identify yourself. Oh, anyway, KK4JBQ.
KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge, to me, sideband much. But you'll be listening on sideband, there'll be two guys talking, and you can understand pretty much both of what both of them saying. But FM's a little bit different than sideband is, so, that's the way it is. Or at least, when we go through a repeater, I'll put it that way. Sometimes you can understand the doubles, but most time, whoever's got the stronger signal wins out. But anyway, what else you got for us this evening, Larry?
Well, just maybe a bucket of thank you for being there for us tonight. And it's just a pleasure to be here. I feel that way every night. This is KK4JBQ. I'll turn it back over to you guys, and I'll just sit here and listen. Everyone have a good night. And a good rest. KK4JBQ, I'm clear.
We'll continue talking, but I just wanted to see what was going on here, and then maybe if there was anybody else who wanted to check into the net before we closed it out. But enjoyed it there, young man, really did, and look forward to doing it again sometime soon. And we miss people like Well, Andy will know who I'm talking about. WB4UUQ, Mr. Tommy, he used to get on here and rag you a lot. And 4RQM, Mr. Jim, we called him Chicken Tractor Jim. He told us about building a chicken tractor, and a lot of us didn't know what a chicken tractor was at that time. But it's a movable chicken pen that, you can fertilize other parts of your yard. So it doesn't sit in one spot all the time. But anyway, those folks are long gone, and we miss them. And, we can sit back and reminisce about the tales some of them would talk about and go from there. Maybe somebody will talk about us that way one day. Larry, you can't ever tell. But tell Miss Donna we said hello, and hope you have a wonderful evening, what's left of it, and a beautiful day tomorrow. Well, we have check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. KI-4-DOS.
KI-4-DOS, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Papa X-ray Bravo, Lloyd Mobile in Greer.
I'd go ahead and pay my price of admission and get the check-in here. Sounds like you got a good net going. Enjoyed listening to you and Andy and Larry there the last few minutes. Definitely always good to get in here and hear some familiar voices. If you will, sir, please check in Alpha Kilo 4 Hotel Romeo. Name is Mike, and location is at home in Simpsonville tonight. No traffic tonight. No comments, Gary. Hope you and Miss Joy have a wonderful evening. 73 and you and everyone on the net.
Like to say good evening, KO4PXB. That's Mr. Lloyd. He's up there mobile around Greer this evening. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Lloyd. You be careful out there on the mobile, and hope you are 4HR. That's Mr. Mike. He's down there in Simpsonville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Mike. Tell Miss Angela we said hello. Hope both of y'all are doing well. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS.
LZI, do you remember Lothar? B4ZQJ?
Hey, I remember Lothar. I did not have a lot of dealings with him or meetings with him before he passed away, but I remember him, yes, sir.
To Ray being the main trustee for the repeater, Lothar done it for a long, long time. We was talking about a while ago about the vacuum tubes. You've probably already heard it in the history anyway, but that repeater up there on the mountain was originally a railroad repeater. And, of course, as old as it was, it had vacuum tubes in it.
Yeah, Andy, I've talked to Ray about that quite a few times. He was one of the founders of the Blue Ridge Club, and one of the first members and all that, and they put the repeater up there, and it was homebrew pretty much. It was a railroad repeater, but they had to do some modifications to it and all this, and all this, everything that they had was donated from individuals that who had the extra equipment and the extra parts and that sort of thing. But it's come a long way since then, no doubt.
Boy, LZI, I was probably, I got that first receiver in Christmas of 76. I was probably, when I first heard this repeater, it was probably that primitive repeater I was hearing then. It done the job. It got the job done well, but compared to the audio level on this to that one, and me as close as I am to it, I tell you, I had to put my ear up into the speaker to really hear it real well. The audio on it just couldn't compare to these newer ones.
Well, I've got the Samerlin HQ-170 over here. And folks come into the ham shack and look at it, and they say, boy, that's a boat anchor. And I said, yeah. They don't ask for me to turn or ask me to turn it on for them, but it is, you know, I can go over and turn it on and power it up and let it sit there for a minute and warm up real good. But it has some beautiful audio. You know, you don't get the same audio out of a semiconductor that you do out of tubes. And now, being able to hear the audio, I don't know why the audio would be so low where you're located, other than maybe your location as far as that repeater went. There again, I did not listen to that repeater at all, so I don't, I can't say one way or the other. But as far as electronics has gone, you know, it's come a long, long way. The quality is has come up in a lot of areas, and some areas it's gone down a little bit. But you know, the old tube stuff and the analog stuff can't do what the new digital stuff can do.
Tells the guy, John, I'm sure you've heard me say it before. You ever been to that RadioBoulevard.com website yet?
Yes.
That very hammering you're talking about in there somewhere where they're talking about it, doing the bios on it in great detail, and also on the Collins.
The website, it really is, Andy. I really enjoy it. I've been there a couple of times. I haven't spent as much time there as I would like to, but I don't sit here in front of the computer much every day. I'm normally busy doing something else, and it gets me out of the house and away from all these electronic things in front of me.
Tells the guy, well, you, there's one part in there. This here was the military stuff of the time, of course. They've got on there an old receiver, their vacuum tube receiver there that they used, or one like it, just like one they got there, that was used on that aircraft carrier out in the Pacific to hear Amelia Earhart on. To show you how old some of that stuff is, whether it's amateur, military, broadcast, everything from the end of vacuum tubes all the way back to the beginning.
KI4DLS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KI4LZI, Mr. Andy up there around Table Rock. Well, Andy, that's absolutely true, and you know, the folks that are in ham radio now, the younger folks, they don't know about all this other stuff. You know, the start of the first hams that were out there, you know, they didn't have commercial radios. They didn't have ICOM and Yaesu and Kenwood and some of these others. All they had was military stuff that they had to convert to the ham bands. Build their own stuff. You know, used to, they'd go out and somebody would throw a TV away and it was sitting on the side of the road. They'd stop, pick it up, and take it home and take the chassis apart and get all kinds of parts out of the TV to put in their radios. They scrounged what they could find and that sort of thing. So it's come a long, long way. It really has. And, you know, You get back into the very basics of it, and way back when, back during the Second World War, they could use a double-edged razor blade and make a CW transmitter out of it. And it worked.
Bells, there's so much on that website, it takes me a long time to absorb it. I've been looking at it now for many years, but somehow I missed that. But when I'm back on it again, I'll look more about that just to see about that. Yeah, there's been this repeater, Wade Holland W4AZT, originally put the 8-2 up there, and I'm sure it had vacuum tubes in it. And there was another one back over here. It had some issues. I've heard Mendel tell me about it. For a while, it would cause other issues to other repeaters in the area up here. I'm not a vacuum tube expert, He said he had a word for it. He said that it was new one, but I can't remember the word, but you might know what I'm talking about.
Dude, I tell you what, they do some strange things sometimes, Andy, no doubt. I had a TV when I was going to A school. This was back in, 1971, somewhere in that neighborhood. But anyway, the had a tube that was bad in it, and I left the back off the TV. And, I plugged the power cord up to where it had the back sitting on, in a closet. But if I wanted to watch TV, I'd turn the thing on and walk around in the back and thump that tube till the filaments touched. And when they touched, they would start working, and then they'd stay working until you turned it off. And then when you turned it off, the filaments in that tube would cool and it'd separate. So, it's all kind of strange stuff we used to do with tubes and stuff.
If I remember right, I heard him say it was oscillating.
Oscillating, when they get in there and do that, it just creates a band and causes all kind of interference.
Keep you up all night, and I'll give you more information. Your current number's still good, right? Okay. I'll give you some updates on them sometime tomorrow. My cell phone don't work here, like I've said to various other people on here. Cell service with my cell phone here simply will not work. So if you call that here, you ain't going to get nothing. But I'll give you more updates on the other stuff tomorrow. So go ahead and take care of your net. KI4LZI.
We'll be looking forward to it. And in the meantime, you take care. Thanks for coming in there this evening. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow. If you have any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. Well, folks, that's going to about wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll close her out. There you have it, folks. Had a grand total of 42 tonight. Good net. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Dave, W4DJW, will be calling the net. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, with our thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.